All right, welcome back, everybody, to week number two of our Base Minders program, and really a huge Yashar Koach to everyone. I know it's not easy to come out during the week. I'm not naive about that, and I know everybody has a lot of responsibilities at home, professionally, kids at home, and it really says a lot. It says a lot about the group that's coming out. It says a lot about our shul, that we're able to have a program like this, and the credit really goes all to you. And it's an amazing thing that we're doing right now, because really the best way to prepare for a monumental day like Rosh Hashanah, like Yom Kippur, like any marked day on our calendar, the best way to prepare for that is to really delve deeply into what the Torah and our tradition has to say about it. To come to it without preparation, it'll still have an impact, but Ein Odomeh, there's no comparison, the impact that that day can have when one comes with a prepared mindset, with an understanding of what he or she is doing on that day, to a person who kind of goes with the flow and shows up at shul. So a big yashar koach to everybody for doing just that with today's topic. And tonight we're going to discuss why it is that we split up the mitzvah of shofar into two different sets. In general language, we call these sets the Tekiyos de Miyushav and the Tekiyos de Me'umad. The Tekiyos de Miyushav are the 30 kolos, the 30 sounds that the Baal Tokeach, or front row.
Okay.
The Baal Tokeach blows before Musaf, before we put the Torah away. And the Tekiyos de Me'umad are the 30 sounds that the Baal Tokeach blows during Musaf itself. In our shul, we do it during Chazar Sashatz. In some shuls, they also do it during the silent Shmoneh Esrei, both the silent Shmoneh Esrei and Chazar Sashatz, the repetition. But either way, why is it that we split the mitzvah of shofar into two? I was commenting to Hanan during the amazing Seder that we just had with just an amazing Kol Torah, as we had last week also, that we don't really find this with respect to other mitzvos. For matzah, you have a kezias. Once you eat the kezias, so you're done. Maybe, okay, is there like an Indian? Is there an idea of having matzah throughout all 7 days of Pesach? Or definitely throughout the night of the Seder? Okay, but the mitzvah itself, you're definitely done. Lulav, once you pick it up, you're done. Okay, we're going to shake it during challah. Maybe we'll add an element. But, so why is it that we split shofar into two? Yeah, Itam.
I was thinking of the example. Lulav, you actually split it into for challah and for shans.
Very good. So, but with lulav, the truth is that lulav is brought as a parallel of a mitzvah where maybe you do it once and then you add more to it later on, and we'll see whether that parallel holds. But it's a good thought. So that's really the question that we're addressing today, and I want to try to develop perhaps a theory that would also relate back to what we spoke about last week. And if you weren't here last week, no worries. We'll repeat very quickly what we said. So let's start with the basics. We know that the Torah in Parshas Emor and also in Parshas Pinchas tells us that there is a mitzvah of tkiyah shofar, to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Parshas Emor calls it zichron shruah, commemorating the sound of the shofar. In Parshas Pinchas it calls it yom shruah, a day of the shofar, something that we're going to see is very significant. But we have in those two parashios, everybody agrees, obviously, we have a biblical commandment to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Now, is there a particular context that has to happen? What do I mean? So let's say you wake up on the morning of Rosh Hashanah and you decide that before you go to shul, you want to blow all of the sounds that you need to hear. For today, we're going to assume, the Rishonim explained, you need to hear a minimum of 30 sounds. Okay? So let's say you decide you want to blow 30 sounds right away when you wake up before you go to shul. Do you fulfill the mitzvah? Yeah, for sure. Right? So that would make it seem like there isn't really a context that's necessary to fulfill the mitzvah of shofar. And that's exactly what the Ramban says. The Ramban says, let's back up for a second. We know that in addition to the shofar, we also have something else that we add to our tefillah, especially Musaf, on Rosh Hashanah. And those are the three additional brachos of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofars. The Gemara says very clearly that the tekios, the sounds of the shofar, are not ma'akiv the brachos, and the brachos are not ma'akiv the tekios, which means that if you can only do one and not the other, you still do what you can do, and you fulfill whatever it is that you can do. Says the Ramban, so clearly, there isn't a necessary context
for the blowing of the shofar. Okay, so far so simple. Comes Rashi in source number 2. Rashi comments on the phrase Zichron Truma, commemorative blast. And he tells us something fascinating. Then in these two words, the Torah hints to Zichron Psuke Zichronos Upsuke Shofros, to the mentioning of Zichronos and Shofros. And if you look at the commentators on Rashi, really he has in mind Malchios also. It's a subject for another shir as to why he leaves off Malchios. But for now, let's take it for granted that Rashi means Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. So you see from Rashi that Rashi is reading in these three additional brachos that we say in Musaf of Rosh Hashanah into the Torah itself. There are two words in the Torah that hint to these brachos. And the Ramban is extremely troubled. He's bewildered at Rashi. Take a look at source number 3, where the Ramban quotes a Gemara. Okay, I'll tell you the Gemara outside. The Gemara goes through the following case. Interesting case. Let's say you live in a community, and in one shul, they're going to be davening Musaf. They have someone to say the brachos, someone who knows how to say Malchios, Achronos, and Shofros, but they don't have a shofar. Shul A. Shul B, they have a shofar, but they don't have someone who knows how to recite the brachos. So you have to, you know, this is a pickle here. You gotta pick or choose, yeah? What do you do? Do you go after the shofar or do you go for the brachos? Says the Gemara, you go for the shofar, not the brachos. Why? Because the shofar is a biblical commandment. It's a mitzvah de oraisa. Whereas the brachos, says the Gemara, black on white, are dirabbanan. They're only of rabbinic origin. Asks the Ramban, you see very clearly from that Gemara that the brachos are only of rabbinic origin. So what is Rashi saying? That the Torah, with the word Zichron Shua, is telling us to say those brachos on Rosh Hashanah as if these are biblical? What is Rashi saying? So Rav Soloveitchik, in source number 4, in the Sefer HaRei Kedem, Rav Michal Shurkin, who wrote up some of the Rav Shiurim, so, and I've heard this in many other places, my Rabbi Rosenzweig has quoted this as well, Rav Soloveitchik had an ingenious way of defending the position of the Ramban. Of Rashi, I'm sorry. And Soloveitchik explained as follows. When you have to choose between shofar and between the brachos, then it's exactly as the Gemara said. Shofar is the oraisa, brachos are dirabbanan. And Rashi agrees. Rashi can't disagree with that Gemara. So what did Rashi mean when he told us that these brachos are actually hinted to in the Torah that they're a mitzvah de oraisa? What Rashi meant is that when you fuse the two together, when you have both the shofar and the brachos, and you have that juggernaut, you have that combination, that is a mitzvah de'oraisa. That's where the Torah commands us to have the brachos together with the shofar. That is a fulfillment on the biblical level. So what comes out from here is that according to Rashi, there actually is an ideal context for the mitzvah of shofar. For all of us living in Fairlawn, and we, thank God, have the ability to listen to shofar and also recite the brachos. So according to Rashi, there is only one ideal way to fulfill the mitzvah of shofar. If you asked me, can I blow the shofar right when I wake up on Rosh Hashanah morning? I would tell you can, but you probably shouldn't. Wait until you come to shul and hear the shofar together with the brachos. Because according to Rashi, that is the biblical fulfillment. Whereas according to the Ramban, you could fulfill the mitzvah earlier. Okay, the Rabbanan said that you should also have the shofar together with the brachos. But from a biblical perspective, there would be no issue with hearing the shofar before you recite the brachos. Clear so far? Okay, amazing. So we've built up the background a little bit. So now we have to get into the two sets of the shofar. And the question that we're going to be confronting is whether one of those sets is quote-unquote more ideal than the other. Meaning, is there a primary place for the shofar? And you'll see, there's obviously a logical flow here, because what are we going to say for Rashi? If we have two sets for Rashi, which one is going to be the ideal fulfillment? The one with the tefillah, exactly. And for the Ramban, what would we assume? What? For the Ramban?
No, just hearing the shofar.
Just hearing the shofar. Yeah, exactly, right? Even divorced of the brachos. Okay, so, okay, good. Okay, so let's see it inside. Let's explain further. So if you look at source number 5, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tez Zayin, asks why it is that we are Tokin umirin kishahin yoshvin, v'tokin umirin kishahin omdin. Why is it that we blow the shofar twice on Rosh Hashanah, once while sitting, once while standing, once before Musaf, once during Musaf? And the Gemara has three enigmatic words. Kedei la'arbev ha-satan. To make the satan confused. To cause a little trouble with the satan so that he can't cause trouble with us. Okay, so just as an aside, what exactly does this mean? I mean, I can't tell you that I understand it on the deepest of levels, although I am going to try to give an explanation that I think will hit home. But just as a surface understanding, what does this mean? So Rashi explains that when the Satan sees that we show love for mitzvos, we show affection for mitzvos, we don't want to do it just once. We want to do it twice. The Satan's going to, well, can't deal with these people. These people are way too committed for me. I can't get involved here. That's what Rashi says. And the Ran explains that the Satan, this is in source number 7, the Ran, Rabbi Nunisim, he explains that the Satan here is really a code word. It doesn't mean Satan. It means the Yetzer Hara. And we know that the shofar has a power of awakening one to do tshuva. And the Ran is saying that we blow the shofar twice, once to hit home the theme that we're supposed to awaken to do tshuva and overcome the Yetzer Hara. And another time, we fulfill the mitzvah of shofar because the Torah told us to do the mitzvah of shofar. Okay, so those are explanations as to what exactly it means that we confuse the Satan. But at the end of the day, based on that motivation, that we want to confuse the Satan, we said that we're going to have two sets. Yes, Arash.
Just going back to the previous one, according to the Satan, according to the Rav, did he have a reference to the way we do it, it seems to be, almost like the baptism or something, right? Doing just the not the shofars and then separate from together with the peels.
So I think, I'm not sure, I mean, first of all, I think that he did have the practice to blow during the Sanat Shmona Esrei, right? I'm almost positive that the Rav did. Right, so it would fit even more when you're expressing your own tefillah. But I think even without saying that, I think we could explain that you get the same fulfillment when you do it with the Tfilas HaTzibur. The Chazaras HaShatz is the Tfilah of the Tzibur.
So,
there's nothing. Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a,
correct. We're saying the Pesukim without the Shofar. Exactly. Right. So you're saying, meaning if the Iker was to have the Shofar together with the Brachos, then whenever you say the Brachos, you should have the Shofar. That's what you're saying.
Right.
It's a good point. Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. But in my mind, I'm sure they still do that. Okay. Okay. Good. They don't do it in YU.
No.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So good. So we have the motivation for why we blow the shofar twice. So now let's say out again what I said earlier. Now that we blow the shofar two times, once before Musaf, once during Musaf, which one is like the real, authentic, ideal kiyum, the fulfillment of the mitzvah of shofar? Which one? So now let's tie this back to our introduction. So let's say it again. According to Rashi, which one should be the ideal fulfillment? Rashi was the one who said that the brachos come from the Torah itself. And the Rav explained that that's when you fuse the brachos and the shofar. So what should be the ideal fulfillment? The Musaf, the Tkios de Mu'umad, right? When you're davening Musaf, exactly. So Rashi will agree that technically you fulfill the mitzvah when you hear them before Musaf. Rashi will agree. But this is kind of where, like, your Eitan's Lulav comparison comes in a little bit, which is that you can fulfill the mitzvah even better when you do it the second time around. Yeah? Because for Rashi, the ideal way to do the mitzvah is together with the brachos, not separate from the brachos. For the Ramban, once we're blowing the shofar before Musaf, so then that itself becomes the ideal fulfillment in the eyes of the Torah. Because the Torah never told us to combine the shofar with the brachos. That comes later from the Rabbana. But the Torah never told us to do so. So from a biblical perspective, for the Ramban, the ideal fulfillment ends up being the first time that you do it. What's the first time that you do it? Tkios de Miyushav before Musaf. Why do you do it again during Tkios de Mu'umad? So the Ramban has a fascinating approach.
And this is brought by the Ritva as well in source number 8. He just says it a little bit shorter, so I brought the Ritva instead of the Ramban. But the Ramban adopts the same thing. Let's read it inside. No, source number 8. V'hanachun b'zeh, the correct understanding here is demidina, fundamentally, harayatzanu yedei chovas mitzvah shofar b'tkios demiyushav. We already fulfilled the mitzvah of shofar when we blew it while sitting down. V'ein tkio shal seder brachos ba'os lechovas mitzvah shofar ela lechovas tfila b'tzibur. Says the Ritva and the Ramban, that the whole role of blowing the shofar during Shmona Esrei, during Chazar Sashat, is not for the shofar itself. The mitzvah of the shofar you already took care of with the first 30 kolos that you blew before Musaf. Why are we blowing again? For the purpose of the tefillah. Because we enhance the tefillah when we accompany the tefillah with shofar. And the way that we could explain that is it's very well known that the shofar is a silent cry, a silent prayer, an inarticulate prayer. And when we combine articulative prayer together with inarticulate prayer, you're hitting home on both ends. You're doing every single type of prayer afforded to you. So that enhances the prayer in the larger picture. So says the Ramban, this whole point of blowing the tkios during Chazar Sashat is not for the shofar. The shofar was taken care of. It's for the brachos. So if we recap, what ends up coming out is that Rashi and the Ramban are going to have two very different perspectives on the relationship between these two sets of shofar, between the tkios demiyushav and the tkios demi'umad. For the Ramban, these are two totally distinct entities. The tkios demiyushav are where the Torah tells us fulfill the mitzvah of shofar. There's a mitzvah that you have to do, just like you have to shake the lulav on sukkahs and sit in the sukkah, you have to eat matzah on Pesach, you have to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. That's what we do with the tkios demiyushav. The tkios demi'umad are really a way of enhancing the tefillah. Two different themes, two totally different ideas. For Rashi, we may not formulate it as distinctly as we just said the Ramban. Because for Rashi, really, the primary fulfillment comes later, in the second round, during Chazar HaSashatz. Why do we blow the first round? Basically, it's like it's a facilitator, right? It kind of sets up the game. It's like we got to blow it once so that we can blow it twice, right? Because we want to blow it twice to confuse the Satan, to show him how much we love the mitzvos. Well, in order to blow it twice, you got to blow it the first time, right? So we blow it once to set up the tkios during Musaf. But really, the primary fulfillment is during Musaf. But for Rashi, there's no need to say that these are two totally different themes. Maybe it's like one protracted process where you start the kolos with the first 30, you get one round done, and then you go into the next 30. But there's no need to say like what the Ramban says, that it's two totally different ideas. Any questions? No? Okay, crystal clear. Amazing.
I just heard from Eitan saying it's very parallel.
Right.
That if lulav is not just the lekicha tam, that's on a base level deraisa, but it's really about.
If you also have the na'anuim and being.
And
the ritzui, the appeasement of Hashem, that all comes from the na'anuim.
Right, and is the element from, tefillah that comes from Hashem.
Right. Right. So you know what? So let's get to that. Let's get to that right now. I want to demonstrate this difference between Rashi and the Ramban with a question that David had earlier this week. I already embarrassed you by calling you out. So I can't say I don't want to embarrass you by calling you out. But David had a great question, which is as follows. And this is actually a question that Tosfos has in Masachas Pesachim Daf Kuf Tezvah. When do we make the bracha for shofar? No?
Shachris,
right. Before the first set. Yes. What's the bracha? L'shmoa kol shofar. Okay. If we hold, let's say we held like the way we're explaining Rashi, that the real fulfillment is the second time around. Isn't there like a major interruption between the bracha and when we are doing the ideal fulfillment?
So I can't talk from the beginning.
Okay, we'll get to that for sure. But there's still a whole length of time and other things that are going on.
You have other thoughts and actions going on in between.
Yeah?
Okay,
so, David.
So then, it's almost so the purpose of blowing shofar is totally different from the first 30 kolot and the second 30 kolot during Chazar HaSashatz. They have two totally separate.
So that's what the Ramban would say. That's what the Ramban would say. And I'm happy that you said it like that, because for the Ramban, this question doesn't start. Right? Why for the Ramban does this question not start? Because what's the ideal fulfillment for the Ramban? One or two? One, right? Yeah. So of course you make the bracha then, and then you're all done. Finished. Gamarnu. Right?
Sounds easy.
Sounds easy. Easy enough. Yeah? Barry will put you up for the 30 kolos. Yeah? No. Okay. But it only gets off the ground for Rashi's perspective that there would seem to be a hefzik. Now Tosos Maseches Pesachim has an amazing parallel. It's based on the Gemara Pesachim. Let's say on Seder night you only have lettuce. You don't have any other vegetables, you only have lettuce. So you have a problem here. Because there's two things on the Seder night you need to do with a vegetable. Karpas and maror. Right? So according to one position in the Gemara, we don't pass them like this, but according to one position in the Gemara, you would make the bracha on maror when you ate the lettuce for karpas. And then that bracha would carry all the way over to maror way on in the Seder. Says Tosfos, what's the parallel? L'shmoa kol shofar. Because you're hearing the bracha before the tkios de miyushav, and then it's going to last all the way through tkios de miuma. That's Tosfos' answer. But the reason why I'm bringing this up as a demonstration is that for the Ramban, this whole question doesn't begin. Everybody brings a proof from Tosfos that Tosfos really holds like the way we said Rashi. That Tosfos holds that what's the ikker, what's the ideal fulfillment? Number two. And that's why they're bothered. How could you say the bracha so much earlier? Okay. Yeah, go.
So I was just going to say, without that more stuff, and also the examples that people were pointing out to me before with Mula, especially according to the those who take that very seriously, that's key to pick up the Mula, like Chris was like, keep up, think of the Mula, hold the Mula, shake the Mula, and then say, ha. Don't put the Mula down. Mm-hmm. And if you really, you should do the Hoshanas too. And don't put the Lula down. Let's say the rest of the mountain, you should hold it in like two hands, then I don't know how you hold the Hoshanas.
Right.
You got to have the Hoshanas with your pinkies or something. So, you see that when you have a mitzvah, and again, this depends exactly how you understand what Rashi means, and I think it's going to come up with the rest of the Makotos, but you have a mitzvah, and then you have an additional level of fulfillment of that mitzvah. Sometimes you can start the mitzvah mm-hmm. by itself. And then continue. Oh, and do good. It in another context as well.
Good.
To enhance it.
Right.
And as long as you have it in mouth, you have to put it down and set
that's
it up.
Exactly,
you can add to it.
Exactly. That's exactly this approach. And I'll tell you a fascinating shayla that I saw quoted in the Piskei Tshuvos. Let's say you have someone who comes late to shul. And they come during the tkios de miyushav. So what they're supposed to do is pause doing everything and just listen to the shofar. That's the mitzvah at hand. Now, if they have time to say the bracha in between the kolos, then they should. But if they don't, they should just continue listening to all the kolos. So now let's say that you have someone who missed the bracha, they heard the 30 kolos, so they fulfilled their mitzvah. Should they say the bracha before the tkios during musaf? It's a big shayla. He quotes a debate between the poskim.
Yes.
Exactly, because of this reason, right? Because you're adding something to the mitzvah, you're doing it in its ideal fashion. And therefore, I think according to Rashi's approach, it would be clear that you should say the bracha. And I think that's the way that we do paskin in the end of the day. Yeah, let's hear. Right, I don't think there is no mitzvah shofar there. Exactly, Dov's making a good point. There's no mitzvah. You wouldn't say the Shema Akol Shofar.
You wouldn't generally, but the way that you spend the Ramadan, there are two distinct episodes, there are two distinct times of doing this. So, yes, was there a mitzvah? Yes. But you're still arguing a mitzvah. I mean, maybe Rabbis on the Ramadan all the time.
But the way he's formulating the Derabanan, we can argue this more later, but I understand what you're saying, that there's a different theme, and you're adding another dimension, let's call it. The way he's formulating the Derabanan is that it's not a chiyuv in shofar. It's a chiyuv in the tefillah.
Right.
And we'll see, there's major, major ramifications for that. You know what, let's get right to that. Yeah, we'll discuss more afterwards.
Well,
yeah.
A very small
yeah.
Thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah, please.
There's a lot of things going on. I say, can I just go to the youth blowing and get my 30 calls? I told Shira, don't publish. know, my dad or whatever person there, okay, we're not publicizing it because the ikkar, you know, we want to make sure people are also fulfilled in this field.
Right, I'll say there are problems. Right, and let me make it clear. Everybody agrees that there's an obligation to hear those sounds during the brachos. The only question is that, should we formulate that as part of shofar or as part of the tefillah? That's the only question. But everybody agrees it's a takana derabanan that you should hear it during musaf. Yeah. Okay, so we are, thank God, we're running out of time. It's always good when you're running out of time. Okay, so let's. I want to demonstrate this a little bit further on Scott's point. I mentioned this during Mincha Maariv a few weeks ago, which means that no one remembers it. So let's do it again. So how many? What are the sounds that you should blow during Chazaras Hashatz? So we know that we blow 30 sounds before Chazaras Hashatz. What should you blow during Chazaras Hashatz? That's right. You already fulfilled the mitzvah, right? So come the Gaonim, the Rif, the Rambam, they all say, you know what you have to do? You blow Tashrat, Tkiyah Shvarim Truah Tkiyah, during Malchios, Tashat, Tkiyah Shvarim Tkiyah, during Zechronos, and Tarat, Tkiyah Truah Tkiyah, during Shofros. Asks Rabbeinu Tam, this makes no sense. After all, in order to fulfill the mitzvah, you have to hear all of those variations. So that would mean that in none of the three brachos are you fulfilling the mitzvah, because you're not getting the three variations in any one of those brachos. So how are we going to explain this position? So comes the Ramban, and is consistent with his perspective. The Ramban says, the whole point of the tkios in the Musaf is just for the brachos. You're shofar, over and done, gamarnu, right? So when we're just trying to uplift and enhance the tefillah, do we really care whether we have all three variations and whether we're getting every single suffix known to mankind? No, as long as we hear the sounds of a shofar, that's going to add the inarticulate silent cry to our tefillah. Others disagree. Our practice, based on the shlatz brought in the Mishnah Berurah, is not to do that. We do exactly as we did during the tekiyos to Meyushav, we do during the tekiyos to Me'umah. And that would make more sense if we distinguish less between the two sets, and we view it more as like replicas of one another. We're doing the same mitzvah twice, the way that Rashi said. That would make more sense that we would do it exactly the same way, both times. And especially if the ideal fulfillment is during Musaf, so then for sure you would want to hear all 30 kolos, because that's the way that the Torah wanted you to hear the shofar. So that's a huge distinction between these two perspectives. Let's do one more, and then we're going to finish up. We'll wrap up. So what about, Uri brought up the point before about hefsek, about interrupting. So this is everybody's favorite time of Rosh Hashanah davening, right? When, I don't know who says it here, whether it's the Rav or the Makri, but they give a clap. Everybody should be careful not to speak from the bracha until after Chazar Sashas. Don't speak the entire rest of the day. Don't speak the entire rest of the week, right? That's, so everybody's favorite part. Is this even clear? That it's not allowed to interrupt. One's not allowed to interrupt between the two sets. So the truth is, it's not. When you go, meaning al pi halacha, it is. But when you go back to the Rishonim, there's different opinions that come out. So we have three different opinions here. Let's do a quick sikum, a quick summary. The way that we paskin is that it's discouraged to speak between the first set and the second set. But if you do so, do we repeat the bracha? No, you keep going. That's the middle position. And then we have Rishonim who took the opposite poles. Some said, this is Rabbeinu Simcha. Rabbeinu Simcha was of the position that if you speak in between, you have to repeat the bracha. To repeat the bracha. And then if you look at the Piskei Harid, Rabbi Yeshaya Trani, who was one of the Italian Rishonim, he says the exact opposite, much more lenient. He says, once you heard the 30 kolos, talk all you want. Obviously not talk all you want in shul, but, you know, you can, yeah, there's no problem. Yeah, have a little conversation here and there, yeah? So, what's going on here? What's the root of the debate between these three perspectives? So if you hold, like Rabbeinu Simcha, that you have to repeat the bracha, so then that demonstrates very clearly that the ideal fulfillment is the tzkios of Shmona Esrei, of Chazar Sashatz. And therefore, you want to have a bracha that is affixed to those tzkios. According to the Rid, according to the Piskei Arid, it's the exact opposite. It's just like the Ramban. You fulfilled your tzkios with the 30 of the first set. So what? So you can't talk in between? The second set have nothing to do with the first set. The second set is about Shmona Esrei, according to the Ramban and the Ritva. It has nothing to do with Shofar. So who cares that you spoke? Lishma Kol Shofar, you did the first set, that's it. Now let's get on to Musaf. What's this idea of the in-between? The way that we paskin, halacha lemaisa, that it's discouraged, but if you do it, you don't make another bracha? So this is a segue into the theory I want to develop. We see this pattern in the Rambam over and over and over again, where the Rambam seems to hold that really the first set is the primary fulfillment, but at the same time, we want to create a juxtaposition between the first and the second sets. We don't want them to be two completely separate entities. This is one example where he says, you don't have to make the bracha again, but it's discouraged. The person shouldn't talk between the two. Another example, the Rambam says, that you should use the same Baal Tokea for the first set and for the second set. The same person should blow the kolos all the way through. Third example, the Rambam says, the Rambam paskins like the Gaonim, that you don't have to have all 30 kolos during the second set. But he says, really, 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 we should have done 30 kolos. Just we don't want to be matriach the tzibor, we don't want to have people waiting until, you know, who knows when to come out of shul, so okay, we'll suffice with less. It's really, I know, it's a big time saver. But, so we suffice with less, right? So what do you see from the Rambam? That really, really, he would have wanted all 30 in the second set, but he's okay with not having it because really the first set was the primary fulfillment. What is this like compromise position that the Rambam is drawing of really the first set is the ikker, but we want to relate the two. We want to have the Baal Tokea, you shouldn't talk in between, we should have blown all 30 during the second set. So, in order to answer that question, I want to develop the following idea. The Avnei Nezer, the Sacher Chavar Rebbe, he explained something beautiful in Rashi. Rashi, remember, said that what does it mean to be ma'arbev the Satan, to confuse the Satan? That we show the Satan how much we love the mitzvos. Explains the Avnei Nezer that what Rashi is trying to say is that on Rosh Hashanah, we do the exact opposite of what's called osin mitzvos chavilos chavilos. The Gemara in Pesachim tells us that we're not supposed to bundle mitzvos together because it makes it seem like the mitzvos are a burden if we try to kill two birds with one stone. Says Rashi that on Rosh Hashanah, we do the exact opposite of killing two birds with one stone. We take one mitzvah and we split it into two parts. And by splitting it into two parts, we're showing the Satan how much we love doing the mitzvah. Now, I want to add to that. Maybe it's more than just that we're trying to do the mitzvah twice, or like we're trying to create more opportunities for the mitzvah. Perhaps the idea of splitting the mitzvah into two is that we want every theme of the shofar to have its own time. We want to give every message of the shofar the stage. So we blow the shofar during Tkios de Miyushav. That's the shofar of the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah. Making Rosh Hashanah into a day of shofar, the Yom Truah, the day of shofar, that we give its own time. And then later we blow the shofar again together with the tefillah to emphasize the other themes of shofar, namely the themes that are more correlated with prayer and with bringing our zechuyos and merits before Hashem. There's two different roles of the shofar. On the one hand, the shofar is the symbol of the day. You use the shofar to create a Yom Truah. That's what we're doing during the Tkios de Miyushav. During the Tkios de Me'umad, we're focusing on a different theme. So perhaps that's what the Avnei Nezer has in mind. It's not just that we're doing it twice. We're specifically splitting up the themes of the shofar and giving each one its own spotlight. Because on Rosh Hashanah, as we described last week, our job is to relate to all of the entire corpus, the entire spectrum of the multitude and complexity of all of the themes that we have on Rosh Hashanah. There is no day like Rosh Hashanah that has so many themes contained within it. And our job on Rosh Hashanah is to relate to each and every one of them. And with the shofar, by splitting it into two, we ensure that each of those themes has its own time. The Targum Yonasan, and this is something I heard from Rav Rosenzweig, the Targum Yonasan on the words Yom Truah says that it's a day in which we blow the shofar to confuse the Satan. He puts the confusing the Satan into the words Yom Teruah in the Torah. Take a look at source number 20. It's all Aramaic because it's the Targum Yonasan. He's translating the pasuk Yom Teruah Yelachem, and in the bold he says Yom Yabava Yehelachon. It should be a day for you of sounding the sounds of the shofar. Limearbeva Satana Daasi Limekatriga, to confuse and bewilder the Satan who's trying to prosecute against you. Wow. Takes this Gemara from Tezayin and Aleph and Rosh Hashanah, a Gemara that, like, pretty hard to understand, pretty esoteric. We're not Kabbalists around here. And he puts it into the definition of the very day of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah. This idea of the Satan is so important that we have to put it into Yom Teruah. But from this perspective, we can understand why. Because the whole idea of confusing the Satan is the idea, as Rashi said, of showing how much we care about every single detail of the mitzvah that we're performing on that day. Every single theme that it represents. Every motif that it carries. That's the idea. That's the whole essence of the day. So then it makes sense to put the Satan into the pasuk of Yom Teruah. So how can we explain the Rambam? Because on Rosh Hashanah, we have to do really two things. On the one hand, we want to relate to each and every theme of the day. Tshuva, Zichronos, Malchus, being Mamlech Hashem, incarnating Hashem, recognizing that it's the Yom HaDin, thinking how we're going to secure a good din, doing tshuva. So many different themes that we can speak about. And yes, we want to give each and every one its own spotlight. But at the same time, we also have to make sure that we relate to them as a whole, in a holistic sense. That they're not just like separated ideas, they're all connected. It all forms one holistic picture. Says the Rambam, the Tzkius de Miyushav and the Tzkius de Miumad, they may reflect different themes, but make sure that they're hyphenated. Make sure that they're combined, that they're juxtaposed. Because that way, you're showing that these are not two, you know, different entities that have nothing to do with one another. Yes, they're different, but at the end of the day, we're trying to bring it all into one picture, a holistic life of Avodas Hashem, in which we reflect on everything, you know, on our past year and our future years and our entire, you know, stature and status before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hopefully with this sugya of the Tzkios de Miyushav and Tzkios de Meumad, we'll have a better appreciation of the mitzvah of Shofar and of the mitzvah of the day of Rosh Hashanah as well. Wish everybody a Ksiva v'Chasim Tova.